I want you to tell the truth, and I want you to answer this within your own heart. But I don't want you to make it known publicly, because I would not want you to ask me this question publicly. Have you ever had a doubt? I mean, have you ever had a doubt about God and about the things of God? You see, you don't want to answer that question. And some of you may say, I never have. And I'm glad and I'm grateful for you. But you say, no great man, no truly man of faith, Larry, would ever have a doubt. You're kind of insinuating that maybe you've had a doubt. John the Baptist sent his disciples when he was in prison. He said, Lord, are you the one, or should we look for another? Turn to Psalm 73. You may say, I am so ashamed of the fact that I have had doubts in the darkness of my heart, that sometimes I've had doubts about, is this religion stuff just to ruin a good Sunday, or what's this all about? You say, well, no truly great man would ever think that way. Well, in Psalm 73, the psalmist said, in verse 1, truly God, he said, is good to Israel, even to such as are of, he says, a clean heart. But verse 2, as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. Now the psalmist said, I will tell you, I know the truth, verse 1, I know the truth that God is good. But he said, I want to tell you, there was a time when I had my doubts. There are times, my friends, when troubles and cares and problems and griefs and sorrows and setbacks and sin can so overwhelm our souls and so burden our mind and so anguish and cut our hearts that we can think, surely there is no great and good and gracious God, or we wouldn't have all this to deal with. It might be the loss of your mother or of your companion or of your child. The Lord knows that some of you sadly have had to sorrow and suffer those things. And I can only imagine the grief that you must endure. At my age, I have been spared such losses. But I know that my time is coming. How shall I act? You say, oh, but you don't know that we lost everything we had, or my folks did, in the Depression. I didn't suffer that. I'm sorry that you did. I don't know what it is. I don't know what heartache. I don't know what trouble. I don't know what care. I don't know what concern would drive you to your knees. But listen to what the psalmist said in verse 2 of Psalm 73. He said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. What was your problem, psalmist? Well, he said, I tell you what the problem was. I was envious at the foolish. The word there is the arrogant. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I was envious at them. He said, there are no bands, and that word means pain. There's no pain in their death, but their strength is firm or abundant. The writer said, I looked around and I saw people of the world that aren't even pretending to serve God. And he said, I saw those people, and those people were just prospering and flourishing. Verse 5. They're not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Well, they've got their sports cars and their marble mansions and their palatial palaces. Therefore, verse 6, pride compasseth them about as a chain. In other words, their pride they wear like a gaudy gold chain. You ever see the Hollywood man of the world with his gold dangly earring and his gaudy Mr. T jewelry? And he's not serving the Lord, and he's got it all. He's got the gold wristband, he's got the flashy fancy car, and he's got all the goods of this life, and he was drunk last night, and he slept in this morning, and you got up and went to services. And the psalmist said, I saw all of that, and I saw, verse 6, they're being puffed up. And he said, violence they wear about as one of their pieces of clothing. Their eyes stand out with fatness. Verse 7, they have more than the heart could wish. In other words, if they like it, they buy it. I talked to a preacher, Marilyn and I did, last October. And he'd been an executive with a large company, making six figures of income. Way up there, big time. And he said, you know, Larry, he said, we ate in the fanciest restaurants in Nashville. And he said, if I went into a clothing store, I went into the finest clothing stores, and I'd go and I'd say, I want that $40, $50 shirt. I want a pink, a blue, a white, a stripe. How many have I got? I only need five or six. Okay, give me that one, and that's four. Okay, give me this other. That's five, okay. And said, they'd throw that down. And I'd go over and I'd say, let's see, I need a new gray suit. I need a navy. Let's see, I need a black. Oh, and I'm going to need ties. You, sir, would you pick the ties? You're a clothier. Pick the ties and go with those suits. Give me a half a dozen, two for each one that'll match. Would you do that for me? I've got to make a call to a business associate. Said, come back, and he'd say, you know, Larry, I spent over $1,000 in a clothing shop in 15 minutes, let somebody else do it, made a call, put down the plastic, and never knew when it was paid for and didn't care. And we'd go to these places to eat, and he said, the places where they don't even have the price on the menu. You ever been there? Well, if you ever go to one of those places, son, don't order. Because if you have to ask, you can't afford it. And he said, you know, we took people out. He said, we didn't think anything of spending $200 for four people. Now he's a preacher. And he said, I'm telling you, he said, we are in for a shock. And he said, now I understand. I understand Psalm 73. I understand these passages. I don't have six figures. I don't have that anymore. We had to throw away our credit cards. They would kill us. He said, I understand, verse 7, that if I saw a shirt I liked, a suit I liked, I didn't ask. I said, give me one like it that's gray. I like that blue one. If you got a gray one like it, give that to me and get me a black one like it. I like it. If you got it, fine. If you don't, fine. And just put them all together and on my tab. He said, I understand a verse like verse 7. If my eye sees it and my heart then wants it, get it. And the psalmist said, I looked at those people. But you know what? Verse 8, is there anything wrong with being able to do that? You say, well, Larry, I'm a faithful Christian. I'm able to do that. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing that. But what the psalmist is saying is, there are those that are like that, verse 8, and they are corrupt, they speak wickedly, and they are oppressive, and they're puffed up with their tongues. Verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Oh, they speak lofty words about this transaction, what they're going to buy, what they're going to build, and what industry or person they will destroy if they get in their way to establishing their ends and their means. I'll run him out of business, and then I'll set mine. I'll buy his property, and then I'll put mine there, and he can go into bankruptcy. That's the way they speak and talk. Verse 9, they set their mouths against the heaven. Their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. They oppress. And what they do is, when someone comes, they wring everything out of him. You know, when we bought a house, Merrill and I had never owned our own house till a few years ago. And I thought the house was going to cost blank, blank dollars. They said points. I said, I didn't score. He said, you hadn't heard of points, boy? No. They said closing cost. I said, you told me this house is going to cost me this much. Oh, well, it does. But you owe several thousand dollars for the privilege of buying it. I thought that was mighty nice of them. They ought to have owed me something. But anyway, it didn't work that way. So what I'm saying, I'm not saying that's an example of verse 10, but I'm saying that these men, they get it all, and when they've got you, then they wring you and squeeze you and get another drop. Verse 11, they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? In other words, look at me. I'm in my shiny convertible. I'm in my penthouse office. I'm with all of my jewelry and all of my chains, and I just push a button and it gets done. And you know, you go to church Sunday and look at you. You've got nothing, and I've got everything. You've got heartaches. You've got problems. And my children are going on a free ride, and why, they're in the Bahamas right now. And this psalmist said, I looked at that, I saw that. And he said, I'll tell you, it was a problem for me. Verse 12, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. Verse 12, they increase in riches. So you know what I concluded, verse 13? I, as a faithful child of God, I saw what the wicked and the worldly and the wayward and the wandering and the wealthy rich had. And I said in verse 13, you know what? I have cleansed my heart in vanity. I've washed my hands in innocency. And he said, I haven't got a thing to show for it. I haven't got anything. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Why do the wicked who are out there drinking tonight, they're at a dance club tonight, Sunday night, here you are in services trying to do right, and you're about to get fired. Or your business is down, or things aren't going, and the people mistreating you, but they get loans interest free, and you have to pay through the nose, and why does that happen? And the psalmist said, I had a problem with that. Verse 14, all the day long have I been plagued. And he said, I've been beat every morning. I've been chastised every morning. Then notice what he says. That was his conclusion in verse 13 and 14. Notice what he says in verse 15. And this is a caution. When you get down, sometimes Larry Haefeli is going to get in a position, maybe it's not over money or this issue, but Larry Haefeli is going to become depressed and discouraged. But notice what I should not do. Here's what the psalmist said when this happened to me. He said, if, verse 15, I say, I will speak thus. In other words, if I express those things, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Now listen to me, folks. One of the things that I can do to destroy my boys is to heap upon them the discouragement, the imagined ills that I have to suffer, poor little Larry, poor little Marilyn. And if I beat them down with that and I say, look at that wealthy person over there, son. My boys wanted convertibles. They wanted it like everybody else. They had friends at age 16 got a brand new car for their birthday. Curtis did too. Called a matchbox. Came in a little. I'm being facetious, but you know the point. Now what the psalmist said is, I felt this way, but he said in verse 15, if I speak this, he said, I would be sinning against the generation of thy children. I would offend them. I'd drag somebody else down. He says, don't do that. But, oh, I've got a problem with verse 15. Do you have a problem with verse 15? I do. Because when Larry Haefeli gets down, well, let me just tell you how he is. Larry Haefeli doesn't mind suffering in silence just so everybody knows it. Did you get that? Now, my biggest problem is when I get down, I think you ought to be down. When things are bad for me and I'm mentally discouraged and I'm whipped and I'm beat down, my judgment is, don't you smile. How can you be so happy? Don't you know what a rotten world this is? Don't smile at me in that tone of voice, you know. You ever feel that way? When you get down, I mean, do you ever feel that way? But you know what the psalmist said? The psalmist said, when that happens, when my feet were almost gone and I was envious, he said, I know, verse 15, if I speak what I feel, he said, I know I would offend the generation of thy children. You can't afford to do it, Larry. Can't afford to do it. But then, here's the hard part of that verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for it. Well, what do I do? You see, that doesn't erase my feelings. I'm still hurting. I'm still in pain. I'm still upset. And he said, when I thought about it, it was too painful for me until... Verse 17. What is the last thing you do when you get down on the Lord? When you get up on yourself, you'll be down on the Lord. Don't forget that. When you become defensive of you, when Larry Haefeli becomes concerned about him and his feelings, he'll be down on the Lord's will every time. Mark it. Is it not true in your life that when you become concerned with number one, that God's will is way down the street? Isn't it? And the psalmist said, I was confused and pained and upset until, this was the hard thing to do, I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. You know where we don't want to go? You know what we don't want to do when we're in trouble? We think God hates us or God doesn't care. And if he was really fair, he'd be there patting us on the back. And the psalmist said, I went into the sanctuary of God. But when I'm down, I'm so upset, I won't turn to God. That's when I need him most. And that's where my answers are going to come. But I don't want to go there. I don't want to see the brethren. I don't want to have to smile. And I don't feel like it. So I'm laying out today. Y'all ever go to work and not feel like going to work? Is there any man or woman here that's had a public job that every day you went to work, you just loved it? Some of you own businesses. Some of you go to a factory. Some of you go to an office, to a classroom. Tell me. Don't want to see your hand. But tell me in your heart, every day that you go, do you say, boy, I got to leave early. I can't wait. Every day, I want to be there every minute. Hate to pick somebody out. Norris? Ronnie? Have you ever thought, boy, this business of mine, I just got to get down. Every day, do you think, every single day, in all the years y'all been in business, did you think, boy, I got to get there every day? No. Ed? John, every day you've gone to work, did you say to yourself, every day? No, you didn't. You didn't want to go, did you? Please don't quote me on this. I know it's on tape. I've been preaching for 26, almost 27 years. Hundreds, yea, thousands of sermons and Bible class lessons and studies and assignments and articles to write. Did Larry Haefeli want to get up and preach? And did Larry Haefeli want to go every time that he went? And was he excited and glad to do it every time he's ever preached? None of your business, and
We'll go on.
See what I'm saying? See, a preacher has that too. We all have it. And what is it I don't want to do when I'm down? I don't want to go to the sanctuary of God. And I want to talk about it to others. And the psalmist said, you can't do that. You'll drag somebody down with you. And the psalmist said, when you're down, I found the answer in the sanctuary of God. And he said, when I went, he said, then I understood, verse 18, then I understood, verse 17, therein, surely, verse 18, you did set them in the slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. Verse 19, the wicked, how are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. It means their death, you know, when they die. He said it's like a dream when a man wakes to reality. So God will awake and he'll despise their image. And when he draws the line, when the alarm goes off, God, verse 20, will judge. And he said, my heart was stuck. It was grieved and I was stuck. I was cut in the innermost part of my being. That's what pricked in my reins means in verse 21. It's like a needle jabbed in me. Because I saw their end. I saw where they were. But look at verse 19. Let's read that again. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They're utterly consumed with terrors. I've told you this before. Let me tell you again. Most of you that are 45 years old and older will remember President Kennedy. One of the wealthiest men on the face of the earth. Am I right? One of the best educated men on the face of the earth. Harvard, education, lawyer. Am I right? Pulitzer Prize winning author. A man of wealth. A man of wisdom. Was he not married to one of the women considered to be one of the most beautiful women in history? One of the loveliest women of the world? Jacqueline Kennedy?
Yes.
Was he a man of great power? Did he have a position? Yes, as President of the United States, the most powerful man on this earth. Listen to it now. Wealthy, wise, the most beautiful wife, the most powerful man, and I started to say verse 5, point 5, he was considered to be, regardless of my judgment of yours, one of the handsomest men on the earth. He was an idol, an icon. Now you put those five things together. Are there any five things you could wish in this world? Good looks, wealth, wisdom, the most beautiful woman, the most powerful man. Could you want more? Oh, if I had all of that, I'd have it made. Look at verse 19 now. And think of November 22nd, 1963. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. My friends, at 12:30 on November 22nd, 1963, President Kennedy lost all of his good looks. Parts of his brain were found on the curb and inside that car splattered. He no longer had a lovely wife. He no longer had his wisdom. He no longer had his power. President Johnson got that. He no longer had his education. That was gone. Verse 19. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors? So in verse 22, the wise man said, I was stupid, verse 22. I was ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. That was the condition of me when I doubted, he said. Nevertheless, I am with you, Lord, verse 23. You have upheld me by your right hand. You're going to guide me by your counsel. That means by your word, and afterward receive me to glory. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My friends, listen. My granddaddy passed away, was an invalid the last 17 years of his life. They called us, said, your granddaddy's dying. You better get down here, son. I was preaching. And it was near Christmas time, and I was busy. I'd been in meetings up until Christmas. And you know, right after New Year's Day, that week after New Year's, I had a meeting and had to get ready for Pentecostal doctrine that first week in January. And right between Christmas and toward the New Year, 28th of December, they call me and they say, your granddaddy's dying. We dropped it all and went. They came up in the Depression, no education, no nothing. They'd lost it all. My dad had bought a place so they'd have a place to live. 17 years of an invalid, injured in an accident, steel plate in his head. They had nothing. My granddaddy always told me, son, if you ever hear that I'm dying, I'll wait for you. I got there that morning. We'd driven 8 hours all night. I went into the room. My granddaddy said he's in a coma and he knows nothing. I grabbed his hand and I whispered to him, granddaddy, I'm here. I know he squeezed my hand. And 2 hours later, he was gone. I do not say this for your sympathy, but to make a point. When my granddaddy died, we had to put in money, Marilyn and I, my brother and I, my mom and dad, to bury him. No money. He had nothing. My granddaddy left me nothing. Oh, we found an old fiddle that he used to play. It's proudly displayed in our dining room. He left us nothing. We had to pay money to bury my dear granddaddy. What am I saying? Look at verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. When Elvis Presley died, folks, he left $1,055,000 in his checking account. Think about that. Would I have liked to have had a granddaddy like that? You bet. Would I trade my granddaddy's inheritance with Elvis's inheritance and also keep the same spiritual or reverse the spiritual? No. You couldn't give me $1,055,000 for the hope I have for my granddaddy. Do you not have the same experience in your life? The psalmist is saying, these rich men, they come to it. Would you want to trade places with President Kennedy? All right, if you would trade places, take his education, his wife, his looks, his power, his position, his wealth, would you take his death and eternity? No. So in verse 26, the psalmist said, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is my strength. God is my strength. Yes, there's some of you out there that are getting old. This sermon isn't going to change that. Some of you are getting older. Your vision is decreasing. Some of you are not hearing. Some of you are getting weaker. This sermon is not going to change that. And when you leave here tonight, you will have some of the same troubles and problems that you came with. This sermon is not going to cure it. But the psalmist said, when I went into the sanctuary of God, when I came out, verse 26, my flesh and my heart failed. Yes, I'm growing weaker. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day, to quote Paul. And the psalmist said, yes, my flesh perishes, my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The wicked, they're destroyed, but it is good for me to draw nigh to you, Lord. You can take that home with you. You ever felt like the psalmist?
You ever doubted? You ever been that weak, that low? Come to the sanctuary of God and see the end. See the end. Folks, there's a dying world out there with those sorrows, and they don't have the hope that you have. You know what is sadder to me than my sorrows? Think about this, will you? You know what is sadder to me than your sorrows? You say, nothing can be sadder than my sorrows. So yes, it is. I appreciate your sorrows. I hope you appreciate my sorrows. Listen to me. This is the end. Listen, but listen to this one point. I'm sorry for your griefs. I'm sorry for your pain. You're sorry for mine. I know you are. Christians are like that. I know you're sorry for me. But I know this. I know something sorrier than you and I. You know what it is? It's the person in the world out there, your neighbor, your friend, your relative, your business associate, your fellow worker, that has the same sorrows, but does not have sanctuary in God that you have. Do you have a neighbor? Do you have a friend? Do you have a relative that is with the same griefs, having the same sadnesses in the same family, that they don't have the hope in Christ you have? That, my friends, is sorrier. That's harder. That's worse. You and I have got each other and the Lord. They've got nothing. And then eternity also. Can we not rise from the depth of our despair? Can we not rise from the ashes of the burnt dwelling of our heart? Can we not wipe away the tears of our sorrowing eyes? Can we not lift the burden from the back of our bowed, anguished feeling and try to share what strength and what victuals we have with those who have nothing at all? We can, we will, and we shall. Let us begin that quest. Let us begin that task. If you need to obey the gospel, Brother Archie's going to start in that song. You come and be baptized in the Christ. You repent of your sins, and let us begin by standing and singing.